He's been called a monster, and he was a monster. And he's no longer a monster. He's dead. And that's a good thing for a lot of countries. And he was planning a very big attack and a very bad attack for us and other people. And we stopped him.
Such has been the giddying lunacy of 2020's news cycle that the assassination of the Iranian general Qasem Soleimani by the United States seems an event densely shrouded by time's mists, a half-remembered fable of a long bygone era. It happened just 6 months ago. Insufficient time, it now turns out, for Iran to have gotten over it. The Islamic Republic has issued a warrant for the arrest of US President Donald Trump, among a few dozen other American officials that Iran wishes to charge with murder and terrorism, if you don't mind. Iran has earnestly importuned Interpol for its assistance in detaining President Trump at their earliest convenience. Before we examine the chances of Trump ending up in the dock, and they are slender, at least for this, a recap is probably in order for thunderstruck listeners who are still thinking, what? Was that this year? How is that even possible?
Hello. In a dramatic escalation of tensions in the Middle East, a US airstrike has killed Iran's most important military commander.
Major General Qasem Soleimani was the commander of Iran's Quds Force, the foreign and covert operations wing of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps. He was the architect of Iran's frequently bloody and brutal interventions abroad, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and still further afield, and by some estimates the second most powerful figure in the Iranian regime, deferring only to Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Just after midnight on January 3rd, Soleimani was leaving Baghdad International Airport when his convoy was hit by missiles launched from an American drone. Soleimani was killed instantly, along with several others.
Americans and Zionists should know that my father's martyrdom has led to a greater awakening of the people's consciousness on the resistance front, and it will bring about dark days for them and flatten their homes.
Iran, which saw this much as the US might have seen Iran whacking its vice president, swore revenge. A few days after Soleimani's vast funeral in Tehran, at which at least 56 people were trampled to death, Iran rocketed two US bases in Iraq. Enough of a racket was raised that several dozen American troops suffered concussion injuries, but that was the extent of the casualties. It seemed clear enough that Iran's retaliation had been carefully choreographed in advance so as not to escalate matters beyond anyone's control. But it was also apparent that Tehran was not ready to call it a draw.
These American clowns, who with lies and utter evil say they stand by the Iranian people, they should see who the Iranian people are. ببینن مردم ایران کی هستند.
Which brings us to the question of where Iran thinks it is going with this latest stunt. It is difficult to imagine that we will be treated to the spectacle of deputies from the US Marshal Service empowered by an Interpol red notice kicking down the doors of the White House to serve Iran's warrant. Interpol, indeed, with an all but audible sigh, has already stated that it wants nothing to do with this. Interpol's constitution, it reminded in a statement, forbids any intervention or activities of a political, military, religious, or racial character. This endeavour by Iran appears to tick at least two of those boxes. Interpol continued, therefore, if or when any such requests were to be sent to the General Secretariat, Interpol would not consider requests of this nature. This is probably as close as Interpol will ever get to threatening to itself arrest a complainant for wasting police time. It has also been an act of heroic restraint on the part of Interpol to rise above referring to the length of the Crimes Against Humanity rap sheet that could have been assembled under Soleimani's name. Iran's purpose in flying this particular kite appears twofold. First and foremost, it is to remind the world that Iran does not consider the Soleimani account settled. Iran may still hope to leverage this grievance for concessions or deploy it as a justification for some future attack on US interests. Secondly, Iran hopes to discombobulate President Trump. It is significant that Iran's demand for his arrest specified that this is something that they intend to pursue even after Trump leaves office. The spectre Iran is summoning here is perhaps that of Augusto Pinochet, the Chilean tyrant who was arrested in London by British police bearing a warrant issued by a Spanish judge in 1998, nearly a decade after the end of his presidency. Closer to home, Trump may be uncomfortably reminded of the travails of former US Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, his globe-trotting now curtailed not merely by his advanced age, but by the possibility of a foreign judge wanting a word with him about the consequences of certain of his policies. What Iran is not doing, really, is making any kind of serious point about international law and accountability and the Geneva Conventions and similar niceties. If they were, the last person they would be presenting as a test case would be Qassem Soleimani, who was never known for his own interest in such things. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.